This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or Die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Mr. Pygmy and the Man-Hater podcast.
Wait, before we start, someone...
No! No! Someone wrote on YouTube.
No, this is important. Someone wrote on YouTube, does anybody else get annoyed that Chesco messes up every intro? And somebody was like, no, that's just you. Well, because they were like, I think Reagan's actually annoyed by it at this point. And like, yes, that's
yes, fair. But that's also it. In the ways that... that I would be with a sibling, I think it's most accurate.
I think you'd be more annoyed if I didn't do this. If we prepared,
I'd be more annoyed.
If I came in as a professional.
I'll never know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great cover because it wasn't on purpose for the first
eight times.
Yeah, and then it became something I had to think about because I was like, all right.
I love that you couldn't even get through the intro without your brain just exploding in a different direction. Wait, one thing real quick. Welcome, friends. I am the man-hater, as they call me on the internet, even though I don't hate men. And this is...
Chesco, a.k.a. Mr. Pick Me, even though I've already been picked.
By your wife and also by a vote, because you've been given the title of what at the Cheer Awards?
Daddy.
No! Oh, my God! No! Ew, sick! No! Oh, my God! That gave me a visceral reaction. I just had heart pain.
No, it's funny. That sounds way worse than it actually been. I was thinking about who I thanked in my speech with my wife and kids, and they gave me the title of Daddy.
No, they didn't give you the Daddy Award.
I got the Educator of the Year Award.
Which is now creepy because you just said they called you Daddy. So
and the Daddy Award.
I literally, like, my chest hurt when you said that. I was like, ew!
That is, and to be very clear, that is not a form of role play that I've ever ascribed to because I do not like that at all.
Oh, we can't.
No hate. Some people love that stuff. That feels weird to me.
You know what? We don't need to keep talking about it. Let's let that one go.
I prefer to be a formal handshake and a very business-like approach to any sort of intimacy.
What? A formal handshake and a business-like?
It's trying to be funny, and it's coming off so awkward.
Where are we headed? This is the most off-the-rails start. Oh, yeah. My God. A it's formal handshake and a business-like approach.
I thought it would be funny, and it
hello,
came
ma'am.
Less funny. Pleasure to see you here.
The pleasure's all mine.
Pleasure's all mine.
Shortly.
Can I offer you anything?
I don't want to do this.
Okay.
I don't want to do this.
Reagan, what are we going to talk about on today's episode?
Therapy.
Perfect transition.
No, it's not.
It's about love.
Yeah, we are talking about like people who are trying to figure out the proper ways. Society, like this.
Right.
What did I say? What just happened? The daddy thing's really throwing me off track here. I don't know if I can recover.
New merch.
Daddy. No. No. Mm-hmm. Anywho. We are talking about Love on the Spectrum, the couples, and also our thoughts on the show and the reaction of other people are having to it. That's what we're talking about today.
Theme song.
You want bad advice, man? I'll give it out gladly.
I got some good advice for you.
No, you don't.
But you know you don't.
I got some advice for ya.
No, you don't. I know you don't.
Shit. Wait, can I say something real quick before we start talking about the show? Somebody, this is...
Is this the burn?
Yeah. Okay. So somebody in our... So we talked about alpha males and making fun of them.
Yes.
You know, the thing.
Yes, we did. So,
but I've made multiple videos about it, and it just reminded me, somebody in my comment section said, you just don't like alpha males because I've seen your body shape and you look more like a likes to eat pie male. Spelled P-I. So.
So we have to talk about that. This is a common burn, I guess. So Caleb Heron, do you know who Caleb Heron is?
That name sounds familiar.
A very funny comedian, gay, good friends with Brittany Broski and Drew Afualo. Mm-hmm. He has the So True podcast. I've never heard someone so quick-witted in my life. Mm-hmm. So Caleb had this story about how somebody commented under his... he was like, this is going to be a butchering of a retelling, but he was like, this guy comments under my video and he's like, I don't know about you guys, but this guy looks like he broke into a bakery and ate all the pies. Caleb's like, I'll F your dad today.
Today.
But it was just like, what a weird, he's like, is this an 18th century limerick?
It's like... It's such a weird, but I love what burns like that though, because if it can make me laugh, I'm like,
you know what? You can have great. It.
I'm a likes to eat pie mail or ate too much pie mail. It was something like, I don't remember the exact wording. I wrote it down somewhere.
That literally is like from the 18th century. Like, oh, he looks like he eats too many pies.
Too many pie mail.
Got him like, burnt.
Good for him for knowing his like his Greek letters.
Oh my god!
Should that be another merch? Likes to eat pie meal.
Likes to eat pie meal. Yeah, I got yelled at for being too loud. I did this whole video, and then this guy goes, "Why are you yelling?" I'm like, "Cause it's my fucking page."
And I'll yell like I want you. Could you moderate your tone a little bit?
I'd like to hear what you're saying, but you're a bit loud. Calm down. Your tone is off-putting, as is your face.
That's my brand.
That's my brand. Woman who yells a lot.
Or just there's a lot of stuff. This will transition, I think, into our thing. So I have a lot of stims that I didn't realize, autistic stims that I didn't realize existed until I started filming myself for hours a day, every day.
Yep.
And one that I get so many comments, like I pull my beard hair. It's a very common stim. And I get comments on it all the time. One person was like, hey, I think people would really appreciate it if you could just not touch your beard in your videos.
You specifically, because I doubt other people are sitting there like that.
Yeah. I'm sorry it bugged you, but I was like, that's not going to happen because I don't even know I'm doing it. It's not
that's
until
not going to happen.
It's like, hey, could you breathe less during it? Like,
if I hold my phone up, depending on how anxious I am, like I get have a slight like tremor in my hand. If I get like worked up, and so like sometimes people are like, "Can you hold your phone still?" I'm like, "No, I can't."
No, I literally can.
I literally can't. I'll put it on a stand, I guess. But like when I'm worked up, the camera, it's there's no cinematography here. It's just shaky cam. This is the Blair Witch.
There was opposite wise. It was a weird compliment I got online where there was a whole discussion online. They were like, "Have you ever seen? How do you hold your phone so still?" Because I would film while walking.
Oh like, yes.
They're like, "Do you have like a
stick?"
I was like, "No, it's just I'm holding it." They're like, "That's amazing."
Like
I was like, "Well, sorry. All right, thank
I
you.
Can't do my ear because I have headphones on, but
yeah, but I appreciate you noticing my firm hand."
No.
Daddy.
Yeah, I knew you were going to go there. I'm not doing it. I refuse. I know it's a good joke. I'm not doing it. There's got to be a standard somewhere here.
Okay.
Let's talk about these couples.
Sure. So we thought it would be a good way to just kind of go through couple by couple. And we both adore this show. Yes. I guess we should say that we are both, you know, especially just like I see so much of myself and my kids in these people, and I think it's, from my perspective, I think it's actually really cool to show that they are adults and humans, because I think there's so much. Some of the same critiques of the show is what society does to autistic people in general. Like we're like, because of the fact that, you know, we talked in the pre-show about how my obsession over comic books and how many comic books I love and could talk about and go over, you know, as a kid's thing that I love. And just, it's just because that is a interest that is associated with younger people doesn't necessarily mean that I'm not also an adult with adult feelings. And
And that's something that's common from what I have been told and what I have witnessed with people who have some type of fixation on something that is seen as a child, whether it's a game, a hobby, or dolls or whatever. Mm. And when they get older, even though their love of that item or game or whatever has not changed, they're expected to ditch it because they're too old for it. And it's like, you can understand why someone would be like, why? Why was it okay a year ago? Like, why all of a sudden is this a problem? So I love seeing a lot of these people on the show being so open and like unapologetic for the things that they love.
I also think a lot of people mistake. They think that autism is an intellectual disability, and it is not. It's co-occurring often with intellectual disabilities. And that's what you see certain things. But I think people, I've gotten, it's one of the reasons I was afraid of even talking about it online at one point, like, because there's such a stigma that like, of aspects of it. And there's nothing wrong with obviously having an intellectual disability.
Sure.
But they're the assumption and the, that what you're saying, or you don't know what you're talking about, or that you're not capable of understanding the things you're discussing because you have this disability. And that's, I think you need more representation like this to have conversations and to talk about it so that people understand that they are just humans.
So this show originated, it was an Australian show. Mm-hmm. And then the same people who made it came to America. Cian, I think is his name, or Kian. And they made it here. They've done a couple seasons. I want to get through the criticism and then like we can just get to what we like about it. Right. Obviously, I have a huge problem with the way that it's edited. Mm-hmm. I think it's very infantilizing. I think definitely, I figured out what it was after you and I spoke about it. I don't remember when I don't know how we talked about it, but I remember I was like, there's something that really bothers me. And then I watched the rest of the season, and it is definitely the music, which the underscored like childlike music, and it's the way it's cut, especially the intercuts of like the little inserts where they're like, Megan likes the wind.
Right.
But the main thing is that stupid narration. The way that the narration is done is literally like that. It's like, and now Davey's going to go on a walk, and he's so excited to meet a pretty girl. And it's read like a child, like it's child's it's child's show narration. The tone of it, like the way she speaks, how slow she speaks, her word choice, like all of that is incredibly infantilizing. That and I was like, okay. The narration is definitely
right. I also, part of the issue I have, and this is them doing it, the way that they play up the awkward silences is it's very clear. Like, first off, every conversation between everybody ever has awkward silences.
Yes!
Right? You're going to have those. But they do it for every single person. They always leave it either at a cliffhanger, or they play it off the beginning of it, which, like I said, neurotypical, autistic people, anybody, when you meet the first time, not everybody immediately is just like, we're best friends in the world, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you are. Sometimes you do hit it off with people, right? But especially when it comes to dating in general, it's not always so easy to be. And so they over the top play out some of these, the awkwardness for, I don't know if it's for humor or to just kind of, I don't know, to stress people out with that, like, say something to you. People are yelling at their TV for them to say or do something. Or
I think it's definitely to oversell the awkwardness, like, oh my gosh, it's so, they're so uncomfortable. It's so hard for them socially. Like, but it's almost, I would agree. Like it's a little like poking fun a little, like it hits the point where it's like, I feel like you are making them look awkward. Whereas maybe they are being awkward, but also like you've taken two people who don't know each other. They've not picked the date or where it is. So yeah, they're meeting complete strangers and it's awkward.
It gave me anxiety watching it because internally, that's my biggest fear in the world. Like when I'm meeting somebody and, and there's silence, because small talk is hard. That's a common trait of autism, especially though, where it's the turn taking and everything that goes into that. Where I go into a performance mode where I just have to fill the space. You know, you see this with Tanner, where he's, you know, he's I need to think of what to say. You see this with James, on the show, like where they, we have to think of, you know, things to say, and there, you know, it's a matter of like figuring out how to do it in a proper way. But so when they're showing it, the first time I saw that, I saw it, I was like, oh my God, every fear about how I was worried my conversations were going. That was true. That's actually how it is when I talk to people.
Everybody has moments on a date where somebody's not talking. You're eating, you're taking a breath. It's just when you underscore it with like, that looks more awkward. And like, maybe they're showing more on their face that like, ooh, this is awkward, rather than like, this is something that happens in every conversation. I also found out that they don't pay them other than they pay for the dates.
Really?
And I was like, I was not pleased. I think, let me double check that, but I'm 90% sure. Cause I remember reading that and being like, oh,
I think it was also important before we get into the, why we like it, overwhelmingly from what I've seen, from the people that have been on the show is that they have approved and felt, they felt they were treated well. They've liked how the, seeing that how they were represented, and they have a, kind of like felt like it was a good representation of them. Like they have not been complaining, at least from what I've seen. And I think the, my issue with people that were like writing off those on the show for saying that it was okay, they were like, well, they don't know what they're talking about. So they were like infantilizing the people on the show. Because they didn't agree with them that they were being infantilized. And so I think it's important that you have to, if you want to respect adult individuals as having agency, then you have to also respect that they personally think that the show represented them well and that they had a good experience and that they were treated well. And I think that has to have some weight on the conversation.
I agree. And I was correct. They were not paid, which I'm like, that's kind of bullshit because you're making a lot of money off them. But they do, I think you mentioned this, they have, a lot of them have gained a following. For Tanner, for example, got to meet Jack Black because of this very wholesome moment. But let's talk about the couples and our thoughts.
All right, sure. Let's go with, I made a list of them. Go with kind of the OG perfect couple on there was Abby and David.
Abby and David. Well, first of all, Abby started getting accusations of not being autistic. Did you know that?
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would watch her videos. So she and her mom started making, I would say it's like educational content, but just like talking about her and her life and the way that she processes her environment and how she copes, different, whatever. All these kinds of very helpful and very eye-opening things. And there was some stuff where people were saying she could not, quote unquote, could not be autistic because of how well she functions socially and like conversationally. And I was like, I hate you. I hate all of you.
Because it's such a gross misunderstanding of what the modern understanding of being autistic is.
Yeah.
Right. It's based on these really outdated modalities and outdated understandings and stereotypical understandings of what it means to be autistic. That goes into the all, and then that feeds these stigmas, right? Which not to get too political, because we're never political here. Idiots like RFK say, we're going to find the cause of, and they're calling it like a disease, which is so utterly problematic. Because like, why has the rates gone up? Could it be one, that we actually understand it better? Two, that we're actually getting people diagnosed that don't, because before intellectual disability was a requirement for being autistic.
Yeah.
Three, people that both women and people of color were systematically not given diagnoses before because the cultural ways that it comes out was not seen as autistic before. Three, four, I don't know what number I'm on. Things like Asperger's was considered a separate diagnosis before. There's screening tests that are going on early and earlier. As the stigma starts to go down, more parents are willing to even let their children be evaluated sure. now for it. So the numbers aren't necessarily skyrocketing. It's just that more people are actually understanding that they are autistic. And so there's instead of accepting the actual data behind why there are more diagnoses of this now, it's there has to be some sort of villain involved.
I got a little quiet there because I started feeling rage. I feel incredibly angry about the way that some people frame autism and the way that they talk about it, particularly, as you said, like a disease like that needs to be cured. I think it's incredibly offensive, and it showcases that the people talking have no idea what the hell they're talking about. And like, there's just so like, there's so many amazing, like I know so many, amazing people who have autism, and it is so heartbreaking to me when people use that language because it acts as if this part of them that contributes to who they are, that makes them as amazing as they're, that leads to them seeing the world in ways that creates this beautiful personality of who they are as a human being, that someone would ever say that this is some type of disease that needs to be taken out is just so horrifically offensive to me. And like anybody's bringing that to the table should be exiled from the conversation because they clearly don't understand what they're talking about.
And it is a disability. I'm not like trying to downplay that. I think there's a difference between acknowledging the disabling effects of it, and especially if you, as you, the more needs you have and the more things that it can affect in your life. I'm not denying that. Like there are aspects of my own life where it is crippling, the things that it can do. But, and so crippling is probably not a correct word to use. It's debilitating. Where it gets in the way, right, of certain things that are in my life. But acknowledging that it is a disability is different than the pathologizing it into as this weird, evil, horrific thing that is the worst possible thing in the world that could ever happen, as opposed to just dealing with what the actual reality of living with it is.
I mean, I'm bipolar. I have ADHD. Like, there's conversations that go on about that as well. Like, there's always people who speak on it as if like that needs to be cured and fixed, and it's like, just stop it. Like, stop demonizing who I am and stop acting like you could ever, like, you can't ever take something out of someone and it not impact them. I'm bipolar. If you took that away, sure, maybe some parts that I don't like would go away, but then it also is a huge reason why I'm empathetic. It's a huge reason why I am so creative. You know, it's just frustrating. Anyways, we can move past this. It just pisses me off.
Well, back to what you were saying with Abby, too, about people questioning it, too. That is such a wildly problematic thing that you see happen all the time online by people that, once again, don't understand it.
Right.
It's like, you would never, ever, or I guess some people will, because some people are just terrible. But like, if someone says that they have a diagnosis or says they are something online, I just can't imagine, be like, liar.
No, you're not. Yeah.
Absolute liar. Why? How dare you? Because assuming that you know everything about their life, everything they go through, and even someone like Abby on Life, Love on the Spectrum, you're seeing more of her than someone that even with a small social media account would. That's still such a 0.00001% of her life and her experiences you're seeing on this screen, and to think that is enough for you to either to have any sort of determination of who they are and what they go through and what they're dealing with is absurd.
But I think her and David, it's David, right?
Mm. Yes.
Okay, good. Abby and David are such a good pairing. Like mm-hmm. their love of animals. And like I feel like that was one of the selling points for them in the early days. But it's just, mm-hmm. they have such a beautiful understanding of each other. Like mm-hmm. In the, I think it's the last episode, Abby sings David this beautiful song. Oh. First of all, didn't know she could sing. Didn't know girl mm-hmm. had pipes. I mm-hmm. was like, oh, I'll just cry now. Right. That's fine. But like through this song, you can just tell how well they know each other. Like, this is mm-hmm. what you like to do. This is what I like to do. They just have this really deep appreciation for what makes them both unique. And they love mm-hmm. that about each other. And I thought right. that was so beautiful. And I'm like, God, there's so many people I dated. I don't think they could write me a verse about right. what they know about me. Like, right. I don't think they would have any, like, idea. And so it was just so sweet. And, like, I just think they really appreciate each other in ways that, mm-hmm. God, I wish I saw more of in just everyday life, mm-hmm. you know?
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
One thing I love about them too, they're a good example of, you can tell they're comfortable being silent around each other.
Yeah. Yes.
And those moments where, because the show tries to play up so many awkward moments, but when you see them, it just feels like, oh, this is my person that I can sit with and just be with, which is what it means for any relationship, right? Where you don't have to be constantly entertaining the other person and doing stuff with them.
I just think it's so sweet. They're just so comfortable. Like, it's so rare, I think. It's something I like about my own relationship is that mm. I enjoy just being around her. Like, I enjoy the silence. I enjoy
right.
all these little things mm-hmm. that, you know, I don't know which one of the things that I have going on is the reason for this, but I have a lot of anxiety mm-hmm. with other people. Even if I don't feel bad, I do mm-hmm. I get overstimulated, or, you know, I just get to the point where I don't like or feel that calm very often. Mm-hmm. But when I'm with my wife, I feel so calm and relaxed. I don't, my mind's not going a million miles a minute, and I just have a sense of peace around her. And I feel like they're that type of couple. When they're together, there's just a calm for them. Maybe right. that prob like I would think that didn't exist as much when they weren't paired.
Mm-hmm. 100%. So,
love them. Love them.
Also, he seems very wealthy.
Oh, he is. He's like they're loaded. Yeah, I found that out.
I see him like, wow.
Sir? Yeah, he has an incredibly wealthy family. I was like, because mm-hmm. that's when they went on the trip to Africa, I was like, Jesus.
Yeah, right from the get-go. I was like, all right, this is something right there.
Good for you, girl. And she's with him for his personality, so don't get crazy.
Right, right.
We know that. Mm-hmm. All right, who's next?
Yeah, let's move on to Danny and Adon.
Oh my God. I love Danny. I mm-hmm. love Danny. I don't know. It's so many things. Danny mm-hmm. is such a, like, an incredibly motivated person. Mm-hmm. She's all about the business. Like, she mm-hmm. knows exactly what she wants from, this is from the last season. Like, she knows exactly who she is, what she wants. She doesn't settle. Her style is immaculate. Like, mm-hmm. I want to be her friend. I know it's probably not going to happen, but I just love, like, I feel like she's so honest
mm-hmm.
and like about what she wants, and she's so clever, and like, I think she's just precious as a human being.
I think she gets a lot of negative pushback because of the fact that she is so honest. Like, she's like, this is what I want. This is what I'm looking for. And when a woman dares to actually,
how dare you,
and knowing what she wants, people get mad at her. Like, why is she like that? Why is she just being open and honest with what she wants about the world?
That's what gets me. Is I think people who are autistic get so much flack mm-hmm. for things that, like, I personally don't understand either, which is the ways that neurotypical people are very covert in what they're doing. Like, they're often not honest about their intentions. They're not honest about what they're feeling. They're speaking in coded language. There's subtext. There's sarcasm. Like, you're expected to understand. I said this, but I mean that. I'm hinting at this because it's not polite to say. It's so complicated. And so when I see someone being direct, like, I want people to be direct. That helps me. If I know, I'd like to know what you think. Like, that's helpful.
No, 100%. It is. I get in trouble. That's one thing I think I talked about this last week on the pre-show. But I get in trouble on Threads a lot because of the fact that I just kind of post my thoughts on there.
Yeah.
And I mean what I say, right? Yes. It's what I am saying is what I mean. And it's giving me a really good insight into how often, I won't say even just autistic, but in general, neurotypical people, like people that aren't, that don't have their own things going on, have so many hidden meanings.
Yes.
Be that in how they say things. Cause I realize I use adverbs a lot. Right. I say genuinely and literally and adamantly and so I say them so much because of the fact that I'm so used to being misunderstood.
Yes.
People assume that when I didn't realize it till more recently what I was doing, because probably throughout my childhood, I'd say something and they'd be like, "Well, why did you say that? Why did I say what? Or what do you really mean by that?"
I said it.
I mean exactly what I said. Why are you upset at me?
I'm scared. What are you saying to me?
I don't understand why you're mad at me. That is, I have said those words at least 1,000 times in my life. Why are you mad at me? I did something nice for you. I said, I told you what I wanted.
I had to, with dating, like, I really had to learn, like, what people mean when they say blank, because it's not what they said. There's so much, especially in the dating world. There's so much, like, hidden, like, well, if a guy asks you to come over at night, he's definitely trying to get, like, have sleep with you. And you're like, okay, but what time is it all right?
Right.
if it's 6 o'clock and the sun's going down, am I in trouble? Am I at risk? You know, it's just like these little weird things. And like, let's speak specifically to Danny and Adan. Mm-hmm. So Adan is a religious person. And it's some form of Christianity, I think, because he wears a cross. And he, although at first was thinking maybe he would want to be intimate before marriage with Danny, he eventually is like, no, I can't have sex before marriage. And Danny is hypersexual. I don't mean that in an insulting way. I just mean she's always been.
She knows, like, what she wants.
She's very into that. Like, she's been, even in, I remember in the earlier season, she was also, like, you could tell that he was very interested in it. I don't know how much, at least in the future, I'm not sure what her dating life was prior to that. But, like, she was very open and honest. And they both were trying to be open and honest. And it came down to a conversation where he told her, I can't have sex before marriage. And, like, she did a whole cartoon of them doing that. And you could tell how heartbroken she was. Right. She was like, because they both kept saying over and over, which I thought this was very refreshing. I know that the subject matter is uncomfortable, but as someone who had that conversation a lot, I constantly was telling, like, no, like, no thanks. It is uncomfortable, but they handled it. I thought, like, I watched it and thought it was handled with a lot of grace, which was Danny's like, I'm not pressuring you. I respect your decision. Is that your decision? Adan was like, yes, I am not changing my decision. She was seeing, will that change? He said no. And they chose to break up because they wanted different things. She was very interested in exploring the sexual aspects of a relationship. Adan was not. I don't think he even liked kissing very much. I know now they are feuding online.
Are they really? I didn't hear about this.
Yes, they are feuding. Adan is saying she's lying about him, and she's saying, like, he kind of blindsided her. Which I don't want to speak to any of that because I don't know any of that. I'd rather
I don't know enough about
what
that.
We do know. Like,
on the show,
On the show, which is that I thought this was an incredibly respectful conversation. She was so kind to him. She was repeatedly was like, I respect what you're saying. I hear you. I understand. Thank you for telling me. And I didn't feel like she was pressuring him. I felt like she was saying, is this your decision? Because if so, I then need to make a decision. Mm-hmm. And yet online, people are like, ah, she's horrible in that scene. Like,
well, because in the real world, we expect women to cave in anything they want. And they're not allowed to want sex. She should have been thankful that he wanted her to be, to keep her body count low, right?
Ew! Like,
that's a good thing.
Ew. Right,
because it's all anything she was doing is when you look at the typical way that society treats women is that she should have, if she really loved him, she should have given that up, yeah, and just suffered to be with him. Ew. You know, and not explored this thing. And there's an aspect of this too that I know I've saw conversations asking about both Adan and the other couples in the show too. Autism, a big aspect of it is rigidity of thought.
Sure.
Process. This is where you hear justice sensitivity a lot, which does not mean you're a good person. It just means you have strict set principles that you like. This is the weirdest thing. The thing people misunderstand about this, though, is Elon Musk, assuming he is autistic, also can have justice sensitivity. It just his justice principles are bad.
Is him. He is the justice.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And so it doesn't mean... Sure. People tend to think, oh, that's why I'm such a good person. It's like, no, it just means set principles that you don't, it's very hard for you to move on.
Yes.
And I know, and like I said, growing up undiagnosed, I was extremely religious too. And it took me a long, long time before I was able to even mildly adjust some of those things. And it took like huge life changes for me. Because of the fact that I was so set and this is how it is supposed to be, right? And so something like waiting till marriage to have sex is something, and that was something I believed in when I was a young man, because that was what my principles set for me. And moving on from that was an extremely difficult process. And I think it's difficult for anyone, but especially when you have a brain that does get set in certain types of ways of thinking, where it's even more difficult to do. If the two of them have decided that he decided this is not something I want, she decided this is something I want, it's not as simple as maybe a neurotypical couple or I don't want to use holistic and neurotypical interchangeable, but an holistic couple being able to adjust certain aspects of them, because someone that is not autistic can adjust certain aspects of their personality, man or woman, regardless of or non-binary, anybody on the gender spectrum, right, has an easier time adapting for someone that they love, because it is not the same type of brain makeup. And so I think this is a bigger difference than people understand if you don't understand holistic brain makeup.
Yeah, but also, I I have really intense justice, whatever. What is it? Justice sensitivity?
Justice sensitivity.
Which is aligned with what I see as morals. Like, my interpretation
absolutely.
It's moral. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I have a really, really hard... Like, if someone does something that I see it that I think was immoral, like, I will think about it for the whole day. Like,
oh yeah, absolutely.
I'm like, I should have stepped in, or I should have said.
If not for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I could tell you things that happened like 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Anyways, but I don't know where I can't understand what people see wrong with the conversation. Like, I actually don't get it, because one, I had many conversations like that. I thought I was saving myself for marriage, despite not being religious.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that. I ended up being gay, but that's what I thought I was doing. And so I had a huge chunk of my life that I would have this conversation and just be like, I'm never going to do that. Not going to do that. And there was plenty of guys, especially when I was like younger, that were like, oh, okay, well, I don't want to date you. And I'm like, that's fine. Like, that never struck me any kind of way. I would have been more upset if they said, no, we can deal with this. This is fine. And then they kept pushing me, which is what we see a lot. You see somebody who doesn't want to, like, I guess in this case, it'd be a Don, would be being pushed to do more than he wants to. Danny would then be not fulfilled in her relationship. Chesko is sneezing so much right now. He's back. But isn't it so much better that they both were honest? Because they said both of them, there was back and forth, but they both were like, I am immovable with this topic. And then they both said, okay, well, then we're not compatible. What is wrong with that? That makes sense to me. What doesn't make sense is when somebody isn't okay and says they're okay and then tries to force the other person to change. That's gross to me. That doesn't make sense to me. Like, that's what's icky and wrong with so many relationships, in my opinion.
100%.
But the fact that people saw that and were like, ugh, like, what's your problem? They're being honest.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of people projecting too. Like, they're like, well, I hated this thing about I changed everything about who I was. I didn't actually, I don't have firm principles. Like, not, and I don't even mean that as an insult necessarily, but that a lot of things that I know that I and you definitely too hold as like these huge aspects of our identity are kind of just like, yeah, I guess I believe in that for a lot of people. Or, yeah, that's, if I push comes to shove, I'd support that. But, you know, I'm flexible.
Again, I think that's where we're like the neurotypical, we're not coming from that perspective because I was like, I watched it and literally was like, good for them. Like, honestly, good for them. Like, good for Don for standing up for what he believes in. Good for Danny for doing the same. Because they're both, like, both things are really important. Someone's religion is obviously very important. And then someone's sexuality and, like, wanting to explore that is also very important. The worst relationships happen when people aren't meeting on the same, like aren't on the same page and they just deny it. And then somebody tries to force someone to do something they don't want or somebody just is completely unfulfilled. That's also awful. I think maybe because it's a woman, maybe they're like, if it was Adon pressuring 100%. Her, or they're not pressuring, but if Adon wanted to be sexual and Danny was religious, maybe they wouldn't have so much flack, but I am very proud of both of them. I don't think they were a good match, and I very much approved of them having strong boundaries and then being willing to let go of something that wasn't working.
Agreed.
Okay. Next up.
All right. Next up, who did I put next on my list? I didn't actually put these in any specific order, but next up we have Tanner. Let's go with Tanner. I said it.
Tanner! I love Tanner.
I love him so much.
And I feel for Tanner because he does things that I do. the way he just fills, just talk. I thought it was very interesting. A lot of the people on the show, I noticed whenever they finish a sentence, they like put a smile at the end. And I was wondering if that's like something that someone told them at some point, like, oh, make sure you smile at the end of a conversation. That's the appropriate. Even Danny does it. That was just something I noticed. Do you have things like that for yourself that you have?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much of my personality is mirroring also like of the way that I think of how you're supposed to act. Which when I was younger, I was called a chameleon. Because of the fact that I could, and I didn't realize, no, it was just, that was me figuring out, it was a masking mechanism, was figuring out, I would go into an area, spend some time figuring out exactly how everyone was talking, interacting, doing things, and that became my personality for the rest of the time. Somebody said,
I get that.
There was a video about tismerism, which I loved, autistic charisma, for the people that don't know the slang terms.
Cool kids. Yeah,
but somebody said that whenever someone says like to an autistic person, oh, I love your personality, internally it's like, thank you, I made it just for you.
It's yours.
You're actually, you like yourself. That's good. I'm happy you have good self-esteem. What you like about me is just that you're seeing yourself in me right now.
That's so funny. You know what though, I think Tanner has a very strong sense of stuff. He also has a lot of charisma. There was a couple of times I was like, Tanner, when Tanner was like, he called her like a hot thing or something. I was just like, oh my God. And it was so sweet because you could tell she had not gotten that compliment before. She had not been called hot. And so like, he's just like, I don't know. He's just sweet when he's with girls. He's just, or women. I think he's older than I think. He's just so genuine. And like, I can't get over when he met Jack Black. I'm still like,
yeah, that was
like Jack. It was so sweet.
It's such a, once again, an honest, it's honesty. It's like, yeah. there's no shell of lying going on or holding it down. Mm-hmm. This is genuine how I'm feeling in this moment. I was like, I that at the end of the date, he was like, all right, well, I've decided already. We're just going to be friends.
Yeah. That was the other thing. I was like, could we not do this more? Like this is what I get. I'm like, why is this not more of this? Mm-hmm. Because like, I saw that and I was like, God, I wish like I had done that or like, mm-hmm. because so many of us know, we all mm-hmm. like after one date, we're like, this is not, but mm-hmm. like I've gone on second dates with people. I just loved that right away. He's like, do you want to be friends? And they were both like, yeah, okay. Like it was mm-hmm. just, it was not a big deal. It was not taken as a huge insult or anything. Mm-hmm. It was just like, oh, I'm just not feeling this. And I love that. Go ahead.
It's actually, and once again, it's watching the show was good for me. I think in like, since I didn't find out about myself till much later in life. Right. Look up that because of my own misunderstanding of what autism was. Honestly, it wasn't even looked at the same way for most of my life, right? But I see so many aspects of myself, and the running joke that I got, people used to give me so much shit for, was exactly that I would go on single one date, maybe two, and be like, and that's one of the reasons also why I don't have any like really, I think, negative bad exes, like evil, yeah. like, you know, people always talk about all these horrific experiences with exes, mm-hmm. Is because I never let it get to the toxic moment of where we're staying in a relationship together, even though none of us are happy.
Yeah.
I was always very, very cognizant of it and realized it early on. Like my wife and I have been together for 16 years now. I'm trying to think if adding in before marriage, something like that, right? My second longest relationship is 6 months. My third longest relationship is 2 weeks. Because I have a bunch of other like 1-2 week of things where it was just like, no, and there's no point in this, is fine, we're good.
I dated people for so long, and I just mm-hmm. like, it's like I didn't know where to end it or if I could end it, or I thought I mm-hmm. should stick it, like, you know, stick it through, and like I needed to be there for them even though I knew something was wrong. Mm-hmm. And so it was just like very, I don't know. It was a breath of fresh air to see them just be like, no, we're good. Mm-hmm. But like in a nice way, like they weren't being rude or anything, but it was just really nice. I think he's, mm-hmm. I would be shocked if he's not going to have a girlfriend shortly, because mm-hmm. I think he's just a very charming, and like, he just seems sweet. I love the way his relationship with his mom. Mm-hmm. Just like everybody loves that, like a good relationship yeah. with a parent.
His sister,
yeah, his sisters, his roommates. Yeah. They have his roommates are so supportive. Roommate. I know.
Just my favorite. I forgot his name. We should look that up. But
I don't know everybody's names. But yeah.
His roommate is the funniest friggin' person. Like, is genuinely hilarious.
Yes.
The
way, yes. yeah. When he had like cheese on a chicken nugget or whatever, yeah. and he's like, "Look at this."
Yeah, I'm like, you go.
That's my, yeah, that sounds like a great snack.
The other thing with Tanner, too, that I see him struggling with, and once again, something that I remember struggling with, too, in a different way, but mm-hmm. I hear him when he was on these dates, he'd go back and talk to his sister or his mom, and he'd be like, do you think I should be with someone that talks more? Like, you, because it's probably, he's been told, okay, the kind of woman you're going to date is someone who's just like you, who does this and this and this. Mm-hmm. So I think there's even times where he's struggling. He's like, okay, well, you didn't fit this check marks that yeah. I was told that I would like. And so I'm going to move on. Right. And that's a hard thing to deal with.
I also notice, like, my interpretation of the things that he said and watching him interact with the other women on the show was that he feels the need to fill space. Mm-hmm. And like, you can see him like going through like a Rolodex of questions mm-hmm. if there's dead air. And mm-hmm. so I feel like when he's paired with someone who doesn't speak, like that mm-hmm. one girl or woman did not speak very much. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I felt like you could see his anxiety like right. ramping up, because he was just started drilling her like with questions. Mm-hmm. Cause he's like, I don't know that he likes that empty space. I think he's mm-hmm. like, is a riffer. Like, I think he likes right. going back and forth.
when you add in the fact that he knows he's being recorded.
Oh God.
Also, I wonder if I would never have been able to, I would have been the worst person ever dating on camera. Because I'm already so aware of the way I'm acting, the way I'm talking. I'm already spending so much energy performing self that knowing that it has to be perfect, I guarantee, I do wonder if Tanner is going to end up meeting his someone when there's not a camera around.
Yeah.
He's just kind of let there be moments where he's not worried about filling that space and worried about 100%. How he's acting and worried about that. So
rooting for Tanner. Shout out to Tanner. Yes. We love you. Okay, who's next?
Next up, we got Madison and Tyler.
Oh, my God. I love Madison. I would be friends with Madison. She's very religious. I don't know how she'd feel about me.
I
hope she'd be cool with it. But I really like that. That's the there aren't a lot for me in my life. Like there weren't a lot of times I was really with the churches around me. I wasn't, you know, wasn't a huge fan of a lot of the stuff that went on. But one aspect that I really liked was there was some really incredible support. And I thought it was really cool to see the ways in which she supported, like the community that she built with these girls that she met. I think they've known each other for a while. I guess they're women now, but the way they support her hobbies and her interests and like what a good community she had, that was really sweet to me. Like I really, that's a part where I'm like, that part of community is great. Like I really liked seeing that. And also the unapologetic way that this woman has dolls. I love it. I love it. I used to have in my, can I tell you a secret? I'm going to tell you a secret.
Go for it.
I had a bookshelf that was like my knickknack. I had all these, like, I love little things. Like I had all these little, like weird little things like that I had collected or that I liked. And I love cows, by the way. Like I had all this cow print shit. It was way too much. But it was like I put it away in the closet because I was like, oh, I don't think people need to see all these collections. And she's just like, here's all my American Girl dolls. Here's all my Disney princesses. Like, and taking them with her. I'm like, yes, girl. Like, be who you are. I just found that's like so, I just found it refreshing.
It is. There's an aspect too of when you see that, you can see that they had a parent that allowed them to be open and explore those things. You see that we'll talk about with trains with Perry and stuff, but like in a really positive, healthy way that isn't always. And it's not, I had a very loving mom. This is not me, but like there's certain aspects of things that I loved and et cetera that I knew I couldn't necessarily be open with or share with because I knew people looked at me weird.
Yeah.
I knew that when I talked about it obsessively that I would end up having negative repercussions. I wasn't always aware why, but I would learn about those sort of things. And so having a system in place or having a community in place that allows you to love the things you love and just be open about it. I think I agree with you. I think that was such a beautiful thing to see.
And it takes a very strong person to be able to continue to live that way. Like even at like with a special interest, like I can imagine that you can't like really let that go internally, but like the way that she again like has continued to do that and does so freely and openly, I can imagine she's had pushback. She has to have had just if she grew up the way I grew up, I don't know. Like in whether it be through school or whatever else, there's so much pushback to conform, and the way that she has refused to change, and why should she? Like, why should she have to? Like, who cares? Why do people care? I don't. I think it's great, and like you know, because people like they get obsessed with clothing. They you know people like to have always have a drink. You know what I mean? Like that's something that's comforting to you that you do. but we don't look down on that.
Acceptable adult hobby, though.
Oh,
right?
Excuse me. Yeah, exactly.
Like, or like, yeah, you're right. Well, you brought up like wine collectors, right? They might obsess over having this amazing collection of wine and could talk about it for hours. Mm-hmm. But if I want to talk about my favorite X-Men storyline,
I knew you were going there.
The weirdo, right? Or if I want to talk about my favorite video game, right? Yeah. Like the internet has destigmatized a lot of these things.
Thank God.
Because we're finding out, you know, other communities and people that are like us that do like these things. But there is that it's you don't get to choose what your special interest is.
Right.
It just kind of happens. And unfortunately, when most of us are developing these lifelong special interests, we are children. Right. Yep. And so these if you don't develop a socially acceptable special interest, then all of a sudden you are chastised for it. You're seen as weird. Or you're seen as an outcast. And so, be unapologetic about it. I love that. And I love that she, you know, and then she meets, was it Tyler? Was that
Tyler, her cowboy gentleman prince. Mm-hmm. When I about screamed when it was like their second or third date. Uh-huh. And he bought her an American Girl doll. I was like, we're done.
The second one, yeah.
But it's like, that's the thing.
Because he listened to her.
Yes! People are so fixated on what the item is. And it's like, rather than he heard her. Mm-hmm. It's not about what he wanted to give her. Mm-hmm. It's about what she wanted, what she loved. He listened enough to know the right doll to get, one she doesn't have, because Lord knows she has a lot of them. So it's like, it would be hard. You couldn't just like randomly grab one. Like, he really thought about it when he gave it to her. And I'm like, damn, like, he took interest in her special interest. Like, so many people will never have that experience in their life. Will never have somebody who even listens, let alone like participates in and supports. And I was like, Tyler, you cowboy hat wearing son of a bitch. He always goes, anything she says, he goes, oh yeah. And like, the only thing, I'm not a hater, but I do not, like, I become unhinged when I see people, like, a lot of PDA, like, on camera.
I was screaming
when they're just like on each other's mouth. And the dad was like,
that was such a moment where even as a dad, I was just like trying to imagine what I would be doing in this moment.
Screaming.
It's also, you could see the battle of like, they're so happy their daughter found someone wants to be affectionate with. But it was also like, all right, Tyler.
Yes, I would have. He was nicer than me. I would have jumped in and be like, Tyler, enough on her face.
Let's take a break.
Yeah, take a breathe. We're going to have a rule about how often you guys can make out or whatever. Because friends, if you didn't watch it, Tyler and Madison were locking lips every 2 seconds.
Very excited about kissing each other.
And it was intense.
It had been a few weeks since they'd seen each other after that point. Yeah.
But it was in front of her whole family and her dad, who had never even seen her talk like before this, like really wasn't talking about men or boys as she was younger. And now he's watching her smash faces with one. My dad would have screamed. Yeah, he would have been like, okay.
It was a genuine comedy moment, but accidental. His face of just like, because he knows he's being filmed international audience to watch how he reacts. And so he's like, I have to be the coolest dad ever.
This is fine. It was so bad.
It was great.
I mean, it's great that they want to have that much physical affection. I love it. I just can't, like, even on TV, I'm like, it's very rare that I see a kiss on TV that I was like, that was good. That looked good. But good for them. Happy for them. They're still dating, it seems like. Mm-hmm. And she didn't settle. You know what I mean? She had the first date with the guy that she didn't like. They didn't meet each other. Can we talk about that conversation? Because I actually thought that was a really genuine, like, honest conversation that you don't really see very often, which was she tells him, we're not a romantic match. Mm-hmm. And he was someone who gets overstimulated. So The place they put them, I was like, are you nuts?
Yeah, I know.
Why did
you
set him up for failure? So they put him in a crowded bar, and he has to put on headphones, and he's so upset. I don't know if he felt upset, but he was definitely overstimulated. I'm not sure what his mood was towards being overstimulated. But he almost had his head down on the table because it's one of those, you're like trying to get like solace from the noise.
Right.
And so, then they move outside, but it's still really loud for him. And so she says, you know, this isn't a match. And he goes, I think it is. I just think I'm overstimulated here. And then she said, no, it's not a match. And I was like, that is such a good conversation because, you know, she's saying, I don't feel it. And he's saying like, I am not my best self here. Like, this is not me. I've been put in a situation where you're not seeing the best of me, which like when I started being over. So when we had our daughter, I started becoming like excessively overstimulated to the point, like everything was setting me off. And I was like having like panic attacks, and I got like noise canceling headphones. I was like, oh shit, this really helps. And I had never been pushed to that point. And so like, it's like, if you were to meet me in those moments where I'm so overwhelmed, like I don't want to hear anything, like that is not me. That is not like, so I had a lot of empathy for that and for that conversation, which is a fair conversation that we don't have very often. Like, hey, this is not the setting for me to be my best self. I think we could be compatible, but just not right now. And her saying, well, no, because I love loud places and I want to be
the
social.
Things that she wants is going to continue
overstimulating
causes to be an issue. And I don't, this is another thing too, that I actually think it's good that they show that also I know one thing we as parents have struggled with is we let our kids have their headphones and iPads in restaurants because of the fact that it's such an restaurants are such the people that are not that don't have any sensory issues, not just autistic people, but like in general, if people have a sensory sensitivity. Restaurants are sensory nightmares.
Yes, they are.
Right. They are loud. There are multiple conversations going on. There are screens usually in places.
Metal screeching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's different textures in the food. You can see it. And there's just the smells, right? It's a sensory smorgasbord that if you don't have a sensory sensitivity, it can be actually an interesting experience. But so we realized early on, because our kids were, but this is before we even knew my son was autistic, but he would have such a horrific time at certain restaurants, and we couldn't figure out why. And it was, and then it was finally we realized it was the because I don't really have a noise sensitivity. I have a light sensitivity for certain things, but I don't have a real noise sensitivity. That was one of the things I never had to deal with really. And so it was, I have a very specific type noise sensitivity. I'm not gonna stop focusing on myself and trying to explain this. Stop, Reagan. I'm scared.
Oh my God. I'm just sitting here listening.
And so we started allowing them to use their headphones in restaurants, and they enjoyed themselves a lot more. They were doing it. But there's so much judgment on parents that allow their kids to use iPads and headphones.
Can I just say something real quick?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, if you grew up in a generation where you didn't even have access to tablets and headphones, I don't want to hear it, because your screen time was outside.
Right.
We just got kicked outside. Like, you're go outside for forever. Like, go wait outside. And it's like, if you can't judge something that you don't even know if you would have used, because I guarantee you would have used it. And I think like parents can't win, because if their kids have headphones, they get in trouble. Like screens, but then also if your kid isn't on one and is screaming and making noise, you also get judged. And so I think like there are times where I'll, you know, my daughter isn't on the spectrum, but there are times when, you know, I need a breath of I just want to eat hot food that I didn't cook and sit for a second and not be, just have no stimulation. So I guess that's my other stuff kicking in. But so she'll watch something on my phone for a second, you know, it's like, and then I get to eat, and then she, you know, she's quiet, and it's like, just leave people alone. If they, if you're not disrupting your life and like, you know, sometimes kids get loud. It's like, kids should be allowed to exist in space. I'm not saying they should run wild and, you know, I saw a video recently of a child stabbing people with a fork on an airplane. Okay. I was like, not that.
No, that's, you do have to draw a line somewhere.
This woman was like, she had her shoe up because she was about to whack the kid's hand because the child had a metal fork. It was a sharp fork. God. It looks substantial. I don't know how she got the fork, but she was like literally running down the aisle stabbing.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Mm-hmm. I was like, you shouldn't be doing those things, right? But I think there needs to be space for kids and understanding, especially if it's like mixed calming. Like, it's calming the situation. Like, why is that a problem?
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, nobody knows. I have
no idea. People are, but it is the looks that you get. The,
really?
And I think it's in part because we're also dealing with them if they are having a meltdown. I think we're more aware. We had the police called on us one time, where a cop came to our door, and they were very chill about it. But my child was having my wife took her out for a walk. And she had a very bad meltdown, and then transferring her from the stroller into the house. Yeah. Someone walking by decided that
they're abusing her or something.
Yeah, or you're kidnapping this child or something like that. And so I think my wife and I have talked about, we're extremely sensitive to the view of other people just because we're constantly now like, are you going to call the cops on us for parenting our child? And that there was a video that went viral of a young girl having some sort of a meltdown in a airport about not getting something she wanted. And everyone was certain that girl doesn't have a disability. She's just a brat. She's just terrible. I would never have done that, blah, blah, blah.
Love the would nevers.
Yeah, God. And it's always the perfect parent. The one person was like, I have 3 autistic daughters. None of them have ever acted like that in public. I'm like,
okay. Oh,
I get so mad at everyone that is so judgmental off of a 30-second video online of a child acting. First off, don't put the child online.
Yeah, stop filming children.
A stranger filming a child, someone else's child in public.
Who should we be mad at?
Yeah, the anger should be at the person filming another person's minor child and putting them on the internet to be publicly shamed.
Ew!
That's where the anger should be focused. But it's all the people that are experts from a 30-second clip and knowing, no, I can tell the difference. No, you can't.
No, you right? can't.
You absolutely cannot tell the difference. And even if it is just a child at an airport after a 12-hour flight with no inherent reason for it, but they're just upset because they wanted a toy and they've been really overstimulated. Stop doing that on the internet. I'm so frustrated about it. Anyway, I would have went on a real big tangent here.
It really is a slap in the face with something like autism, where people are so desperate to be diagnosed and have to fight to get a diagnosis. Mm-hmm. Some, into adulthood, like, are begging for help. To then have everybody on the internet think they have a DR, in right. front of their name. Like, well, right. it's like, really? Because I tell that to my doctor who refuses to diagnose me. It's just like, it's so insane. And I think, again, like, we have to have space for people to exist. Like, a child who was autistic will probably have a meltdown at some point. Like, are we saying they're not allowed in public spaces? Is that the world we want to live in? Are we shaming them for existing? Like, that's insane to me. Okay.
Right, we have 2 more to talk about. Next up, we have feminist icon.
James. I love James. Yes. He really is a feminist icon. This man is on the internet shouting for women's rights. Like, all the time. Like, you see a bit of it when he's at his birthday bonfire. Also, why did his dad make it a bonfire? Leave it alone. Like, the smoke was killing them.
That was such
I was like, stop it. Such a dad thing, It's like, no, we need this fire. I'll build it. And then James is like, I don't like it. I
guess we'll do that, Dad.
That's fine. Okay. Their relationship's very funny. The parents and him, they're just like, he's just like, Mom, yeah. Stop. Dad, just, please.
Let me explain to you. And the thing is, everyone's had those conversations with their parents.
Yes.
We're like, no, that's so outdated. No, you're wrong. Let me explain to you why that's a problem.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things, I did feel like at his party when Shelly was his girl, and as far as we know, they're still together, I did feel he was like, I need you to know that she probably posted something about like abortion or something in his story, and he was like, I need you to know I'm also very passionate about this, and maybe let me just figure out a way to squeeze it in. Well, in a way,
yeah. I don't know though, because he's like, if you check his, like, I think it's his TikTok. I mean, he talks about it very often.
I don't mean like he was doing it.
No, I know. I'm just saying I could see him just like randomly being like, and you know what else? Yeah, abortion rights.
But I've done that before when I know there's someone that has a shared interest of or something that I'm passionate about.
Yeah, you're like,
find ways to how do I force this into the car? Because I want us to be friends.
Yes.
And I know we're going to be friends. But if we don't talk about these certain things that I know we have in common.
Yes.
I've absolutely not done exactly that, but like with other things where I force stuff into conversation where I'm like, I want you to know that this is, I'm not, I don't believe the other way. Because just in case you need to know that
I have so much empathy for James. He gets very frustrated. There's lots of times he's getting frustrated, and there's especially when he's like trying to get something, his point across, or he's trying to talk about something, because like I have that, but a lot of it's like internal on the inside. I'm screaming, but he'll be like, you can just see that he has these moments where he gets really stressed. Like, especially, you know, there's point with Shelly, like at the bonfire when he's trying to ask her out, he's really trying to get it out, but you can tell how stressed he is. I was like, I get that. I get that, James. It is stressful, especially when there's a pretty woman that you are trying to talk to. It is very stressful.
We'll talk about this with Connor in a second, too. That first kiss is so hard.
Man, yeah.
Some people make it out to be easy, but I know my first kiss of my wife, it's a running joke about how awkward I was about like going. It was just this moment of kiss on the front stoop of her.
You're so much taller than her also. How did you even accomplish it?
It was every,
you have to hunch over. Yeah. It's crazy.
It's difficult to be open and honest about things and not knowing. And I think there is a level of, and I think that this is more related to being autistic, where everyone, it's hard to read people. I think everyone struggles with it to an extent, but that's part of the diagnosis is an inability to understand and pick up on other expressions and the way that people are reacting to you at times. Yeah. And so I think you overanalyze that even when you are viewed. We've talked about this with me before, where I never assume positive intent.
I literally one of our last conversations about this was you saying that someone asking to make out with you is not someone hitting on you, and I still have not recovered from that conversation.
But that's kind of exactly where it is, though. It's like, no, that I'm
leaving
you for this. I'm wrong here. This can't be what I think it means.
Yeah.
And so, because like, and it's much easier to see for other people than it is for yourself, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm watching a show. I'm like, come on. Like, we'll talk about Connor in a second. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, Georgie wants you to kiss her, Connor. It's right there. Just go for it.
Yeah.
But it's that constant doubt that I think I see what I think I see, but I've been wrong in the past so many times that I don't want to mess this up. I don't want to do this wrong thing. I don't want to overstep my boundaries about this sort of thing. And so just that moment of stress is something I felt on a guttural, like just the internal archaic level of just like, oh, I feel everything you're going through right now, my guys.
Yeah. But he does a really good job, and like he goes on the one date that doesn't work out so well. But I love the way that he sticks to his style. I love the way that he's sure of what he wants. I mean, he doesn't want someone with dogs, and he really, really makes sure there's not a dog involved. And he doesn't want kids too, and he's open about that. And I think he does a good job of that. I think, you know, he's proof that sticking to who you are and knowing what you want can have a positive outcome, because it was hard for him for a while. And then finally we see him seemingly still mm-hmm. in a relationship with someone he really likes that meets his specific needs mm-hmm. And vice versa. So
we saw them cos. There was a picture, I think, of them afterwards of them cosplaying at like a.
Oh my God, I love it.
Which I and that was my wife and I kept saying, why aren't they doing like dating at a Ren Faire or something? Like he needs someone that is like into that because that's yes. a big hobby of his. And then they didn't bring that up, but it looks like that's something Thank she's God. Into as well. And that
because he sense. Loves it, and he did a date there last mm-hmm. time. So
yeah,
okay. All Do right. we want to get to your favorite couple?
Sure. Let's go to Connor and Georgie.
Connor.
Iconic couple of the set, and I mean that with zero sarcasm, with yeah. complete genuine. It's one of my favorite couples on TV of all time.
God, Connor is so funny. Like he genuinely has so many good lines mm-hmm. this season that slayed me. Like,
well, I know there was the one with his mom, like where he was like, "I'm gonna cop a feel."
Yeah,
it's like if I cop a feel, I must. Then cop a feel, I shall. And she's like, "Connor, you know that means like." Touching her boob, and he's yes. like, "Oh no!"
Well, he did one where he was like, they were saying, they said something like that, and he's like, "That is too far. That's inappropriate." Uh-huh. And then, like, he just kind of like turns, and he's like, "But true,
true."
He's so good, and the look.
I cannot, yeah.
When he has the secret face with his mom, which all of us have that, you know, I do anyways. Like uh-huh. my whole family, we just will cuddle, look at each other, and we're like, "Oh, mm-hmm. don't talk about that. That means that." And so he's like, "This is the face," and then he does like the yeah. intense eyebrows, and then she says something to Georgie, and he gets the mm-hmm. face, and she's like, "Oh, sorry, we have a face." I was mm-hmm. like, "Yes, you should."
There is so much of my son. Mm. In Connor and his mannerisms and the way he talks that I found like literally I would find myself crying constantly during Connor's side because I'm like it's such a weird feeling like I'm like that's my little boy like as a grown-up
it's my son on there
they're different but it like I yeah. it, because of the fact that there was so much with Connor specifically where I saw so much overlap with my son mm-hmm. and the way he joked the way he talked about things And a lot of overlap with myself and with the way that I talk about things in the world too. I also love one of the things I thought was so beautiful about Connor, and we mentioned a second ago was how clearly he was seeking consent,
yes,
for doing things, and how it was such a good example of just why it's important and how it can help, especially if you're not sure mm-hmm. if you understand like. I wanted to know, can I kiss you?
Yeah.
And Georgie is the perfect counter for him. Mm-hmm. She's so like gentle and understanding and patient.
Yep.
And she's very observant too. And she saw how uncomfortable. She's like, "How about my cheek or my hand?" Mm-hmm. And he was like, and she knows, and because she's also listening to him being loving, like medieval yeah. things and all that.
Sure.
And he's like, "Yes, I'll do that."
Yeah.
I was like.
Well, and then you had the other moment where, like, then he really, you could tell he was like, "Oh, that's not what I wanted, actually." Because yeah. it's like, it is this give and take. Yeah. It is trying to figure out, like, what are you comfortable with? What do I want? And, like, both of them are trying to figure out what's comfortable for both of us. And then him realizing, "Oh, no, I really do want to kiss this girl." Kiss, yeah. And then he does. It's so sweet. And he literally goes weak in the knees. Like, actually, he thought he was going to pass out. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I get that.
Yep.
I get that. Yep.
Mm. And the way he said, "The way the sun is glistening off your hair."
I can't with it.
But it's like an actual compliment, a genuine, yes. full-hearted. And well, even before that date, though, he's talking to his brother. He's like, "I ruined it.
I know. I ruined it.
I've been there, Connor. I know what it feels like when nothing goes right or when it went great. But the thing you wanted to go right yeah. didn't go the way you wanted to.
And yeah, it was just so sweet the way, like, there's so few people on the planet that, like, would walk with you in the rain in a backyard to hear you verbally discuss how you're going to build your house. Mm-hmm. Like, he's pointing to nothing and he's like, "This is where this will be. This is where that'll be." Mm-hmm. And it's literally pouring rain. She's so genuine with him and she's so interested in his interests and she cares so much about him that like she's down for that, like she is so invested in everything he says. And I'm just like, seeing someone be appreciated, and even his humor, he would joke and she mm-hmm. would joke back, like seeing someone be valued and appreciated for exactly who they are. And like someone gets like with my wife, like she's one of the only people on this mm-hmm. earth that really gets me. I have a lot going on. Very mm-hmm. complicated, but she right. gets me, and we get each other mm-hmm. like on a bit, like it's visceral, and mm-hmm. our sense of humor. And so, you know, I think Connor probably hasn't felt that way with mm-hmm. many other people. And so to mm-hmm. see someone get him and he mm-hmm. gets her was so beautiful to watch. Like it was so amazing. And it could not have happened if they weren't so honest with who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just was like, cry.
It's one of the running themes of why this is a common theme, I think, among most neurodivergent people, mm-hmm. but you're among autistic people as well, where the autistic radar, where they can kind of tell what someone is. And I think part of it is when you can unmask a little bit more naturally around them, because mm-hmm. there is a feeling, I've noticed it myself too, around certain people. And also this, there was somebody online, I think it was, I'm going to say it, and if I'm wrong, I'll correct myself in the notes of the show. I think it was Black Spectrum Scholar on Threads posted about, like, they want there to be, like, a dating, but not where it's not for romance, but you just go around for 20 minutes and share your special interest with another autistic person.
That's so awesome, though!
Right? And it's I think it's the reason is, and this, like I said, there are individual people that also are good at hearing about this and kind of...
Sure.
grabbing it on. But in general, I know the feeling. It feels so bad when you're so excited about something and then you realize that this person does not care, or they keep trying to change the subject.
Ugh, and you're like, brutal.
Oh, I have 10 more minutes of this. I need to tell you, or else I'm not going to hear anything else you say for the rest of the day.
That's you for sure. You're like, wait, hold on. I have to tell you this thing really fast, and then I can hear you.
I have to. I promise I'll do the shortest version possible, or else nothing's going to get accomplished.
Yeah, it is really sad. It's like soul crushing to think about, like, if somebody was talking about something they loved and the person's like, yeah. Anyways. Like, God.
I cannot express how bad. And then you feel also so embarrassed about it in that moment, because you're like, oh, of course you don't care about this random comic book storyline, or of course you don't care about this video game that I was playing, or no, it's not even, of course you don't care about the backstory of a minor character in a video game that you're playing, right? Of
course, yeah.
It's that moment of like, but it was really, but I had to find somebody to tell about this.
Yeah.
Of course, you don't care about the mechanics of playing this kind of character in this MMORPG, about the best way to maximize damage in order to blah, blah, blah. Of course, you don't care about that.
So- my most recent one of that is my poor wife. Poor wife. I wanted to tell her literally a brief thing that happened on a show I liked in the, mm-hmm. it was a Korean kind of horror thriller. The Lighthouse, so good. So good. Or The Light Shop, excuse me. The Light Shop. And I go, oh, well, I kind of have to tell you the whole thing. And I stood there and verbally described a whole series. All characters, all background, all, like every part of it. The visual, literally, this is all just to tell her, like, one thing. Like, I have to give back, even when I tell a story, I have to give the backstory. And you know what? I'm so lucky, because she's like, okay, yeah. And she's like, mm-hmm. oh, I can see why that was really emotional in the finale. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, God, what have I done?
I just did that 2 days ago. I just finished reading a book, Project Hail Mary, by Andy Weir. He's the one he wrote The Martian.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's such a good book. But the very ending, and mm-hmm. I brought it out. I was like, are you going to – let me tell you enough where if you want to read the book, I'm not giving you spoilers. And
then
And then she's like, I'm not going to read the book. Don't worry.
Perfect.
Okay. Let me tell you everything. Because I had to go through. So
yep.
You know, 45 minutes later, we get to the one thing at the very end of the book yep. I wanted to talk about.
That's literally, we're a little scary similar sometimes. I'm frightened for us. Oh, shit. But yeah, to that point, it's great to find people who get you. Mm-hmm. And like, I think certain people, it's harder for them to find that. And so it was just so beautiful to see that.
Speaking of what we skipped, I realized we skipped Perry and Tina.
Oh, God! Perry and Tina! Oh, my God. So cute. Love them. I love them so much.
We're like 2 hours into
the summer. I know. Perry loves the train.
Uh-huh.
Loves the tea. Loves the train.
Loves the terrific day.
Her wanting to like kiss a girl for the first time and be in mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, it me.
And that was we mentioned a little bit earlier. One of my favorite moments of that first date though was you could tell it was not even, it was not a aggressive, it was not a romantic. She was like, I realize I want this experience of kissing a girl.
Yep.
Of kissing another girl. And I need to know what it feels like. And you could tell she was like, oh, but this, it's not, no, it's not the right moment. So I said she didn't do it. But you could tell, you could see the disappointment.
But Tina's hard to read, I thought. Like, I think she seemed happy the whole time, but I wouldn't have known either.
Right.
I thought she was just a little bit harder to read. So I could understand why, you know, she's a little like, I don't. Maybe, but I could not. I was like, there's so many things. Like, after they kiss, and then she was like, God, that's so much better than a boy. It was weird. I'm like, girl.
Another healthy moment. So the train club before she went on the date, those boys, and they asked, they're like, did any of you were you ever interested? And they're like, yeah, but then she said she was interested in girls. And we're like, okay. But it was because I think they yeah. They didn't say they were autistic. I got the vibe. My autistic radar definitely felt like they were of like-minded individuals. I don't know. Maybe we should cut that out. I don't want to diagnose anybody.
Sure.
Leave it. It's fine. Anyways, but you could tell that they were like, yeah, we thought she was cute, but she said what she wanted. We respect that.
That's not us.
Now we are continuing our friendship.
Yeah.
And they did. And it was such a, that's how you should handle something like that. Oh, she's not interested in us regardless of sexuality or not. Right. But there's no interest. Okay. That's fine. I thought maybe this could be something else. She has expressed her interest. I respect her as a person and a friend. Mm-hmm. Let's move on and just be friends and talk about trains.
And then our train goddess was talking to her sister. Mm-hmm. And had accidentally labeled her sister as lesbian, and she's bi. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, at least I didn't call you straight. That killed me. I was like, that's hilarious. But it was just so sweet to see like somebody finally experiencing something they were so excited about. They both were so excited about. And like, oh, I really empathize with that because that is such a huge jump, like when you're going from dating guys to girls and like you just, oh God, I just was like, that's so amazing and also scary. And I remember how like intimidating it was. It's very intimidating. And it was just sweet to see that. Oh, it's a whole, like it's completely, in my mind, like, so like the social rules were different. Mm-hmm. How you approached it was so different. Like I felt like I had to start from square one. Like, I know nothing. I'm terrified. Not that I knew much before, but yeah.
With your wife, did you go for the first kiss or did she go for the first kiss?
I feel like I kissed her cheek and then we turned heads. That feels. Okay. But what was funny is I kept telling her, this is, I don't know, TMI maybe, but I was like, I'm not going to kiss you on the first date. I was like, I will not. So don't expect it. I was very like, because I had such bad experiences with men, I started being really clear with my boundaries and like what I wanted. And so that's probably why I like Danny. But I was like, I'm not going to kiss you and I won't kiss you and don't expect it. And she's like, okay, that's fine. And then immediately upon meeting her, I was like, I'm kissing your face tonight.
I need your face on my face. This is
it's immediately. It's
very important. That I this almost
it means something to me. I almost we met at a bar and I was like, I'm going to jump over this table. Like I need to kiss you. Really, I had never felt that. Mm. Like I had never felt that way in my life. Like the chemistry. I was like, what is this? What is that? This is why people, I get it now. Because
this is what it's supposed to feel like.
Okay. Everyone's always like, I used to think people who like wanted to have sex all the time. I was like, What is wrong with them? Like, why are they that? Who cares?
Terrible.
Who has the drive for that? I don't. Yeah. Like, even when I was young, everyone would hook up with each other. I was like, why? And then no, thank you. Check no. But I met her. I was like, oh my God, I get it now.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, I think just to, because I know this is we've got a very long for this episode, and I think I want to sum up a couple of things. One, a reminder, everybody, we are obviously not experts in this field. We are speaking from our own lived experiences and just observations, and so do not take anything we have said as a diagnosis or anything on that, because I think people tend to take that way too far online, where there is far more to being autistic than anything we have mentioned on this show or that show. So keep that in mind. I think in general, the thing that has made this show so popular is that it's such a nice counter to the toxicity of dating you see online and toxicity of dating you hear about so much on the internet, of just people being honest and forthcoming and just genuine in dating, which is what dating for everyone can take lessons from, about how much better it is when you aren't playing games, when you aren't playing all these sorts of different fake rules that you make up to convince someone to be with you, but when you seek out someone that shares your interests and you can be honest about whether or not it works out. I think that's why it's so popular. It's so refreshing to see adults engaging in a way that I think that honestly, holistic and neurotypical people especially have been told that you can't date that way. You can't have a romantic partner without playing game after game after game, without hiding how you actually feel, without, you can't compliment them that way. You can't be as direct about what you want. Asking for consent before you kiss, that's weird. That shouldn't be how you do it. Right. And then you're seeing this, all of these dating experiences that stand in direct opposition to that. And they're like, oh, that's really refreshing. Maybe what can we take away from that? And I don't think people are going to take that away from it. Like something, like the people that need to take that away from it. But I do think that's a big aspect of it, is just seeing people engage in romantic partnerships in a way that we have been told is not how you're supposed to, quote unquote. It goes against the societal norms of what we are constantly taught is the way to do something. And that's part of being autistic, is you make your own norms. You don't necessarily always pick up on these cultural norms, which can cause your life to be harder in some ways. But we're seeing how it could be actually a really beautiful thing, especially when it comes to finding a partner.
Drop the mic. Well said, sir. I can see why you won Educator of the Year, because that was a solid ending. Well, the listeners don't know what you just did because they can't see you.
Great audio. Collar pop.
It was a collar pop, friends. Thanks again to everybody who's listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
And I love you.
There it is. Bye.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.